This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. The ink wasn't even dry on last summer's Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade when red states moved to outlaw abortion. California, though, did the exact opposite, protecting doctors, nurses, and midwives who perform the procedure and enacting other protections, even enshrining the right to an abortion in the state's constitution. As California goes, so goes the nation is a tired cliche, but in this case, that's what's happening with other blue states. Some are looking to California for inspiration for their own laws. Alice Miranda Olstein wrote about this for Politico, where she covers healthcare on Capitol Hill. Welcome back to Press Play, Alice.
Thank you so much.
Well, you recently came here and spent some time at UC Santa Barbara, where a new state law requires state colleges and universities to keep the abortion-inducing drugs mifepristone and misoprostol on hand and available to students. Talk more about what this law says.
Absolutely. So, you know, when I was looking at all of the new abortion rights legislation California was implementing in January, some of which passed years before the Supreme Court decision, but some of which passed much more recently, but a lot went into effect in January, and they sort of fall into two buckets. One are the legal protections for both Californians and people coming from out of state for the procedure. And the other bucket are measures to try to make abortion more affordable, more accessible, more easy to obtain, you know, again, both for California residents and people from out of state, many, many of which have been coming to the state for the procedure since the Dobbs ruling. And so The new mandate that student health centers provide these abortion medications, that is part of sort of the second bucket, the making access easier bucket. And it's the first of its kind in the country, but we've seen since California passed it, Massachusetts has passed it, and now New York is looking to pass it, and other states are taking a look as well.
Right. And so in this particular instance, this law regarding state colleges and universities, you can just, as a student, just go to one of these student health centers and get these drugs?
Well, I mean, you can't get them over the counter. So you do have to get a prescription from someone at the health center, but you can be prescribed and given the drugs, and you can take the drugs at home, you know, wherever is most comfortable for you. And also under new California policy, folks who are not physicians, but who are, you know, nurse practitioners and midwives are able to dispense as well. In a lot of other states, it's just doctors.
But you don't have to go to your doctor first. You can just go to the health center and get it from someone there who's licensed.
Sure. And you know, a lot of students are on their school's health insurance, and so that is their regular doctor anyways. For others, that's not the case. And so it's interesting, another piece of this that not all college campuses in the state are doing, but they are doing it at UC Santa Barbara, which is, you know, if someone is either uninsured or on their parents' insurance and they don't want this to show up, they don't want their parent to know about this, there's a pot of funding so students can be able to afford this out of pocket. And so not all campuses are doing that. But, you know, I went to UCSB because they were kind of at the vanguard. They got their program up and running well before the January deadline. And so they were able to sort of walk us through everything that entailed in this new era for California.
Interesting. Well, that's caught the eye of Republicans in Washington who have introduced a bill to strip federal funding from any college or university that does this. So could that supersede the California law?
So, you know, with Congress right now, you have a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, and so very little of anything is going to pass, and especially something like this would never pass the Senate. And so it's an indication of what Republicans would like to do and maybe could do if they had, you know, more power in Washington.
Okay, so what are some of the other laws that California has recently implemented regarding abortion? How have they been replicated or are being attempted to be replicated in other states?
Yeah, so I think the most common ones are the legal protections for both providers and patients. So you saw Illinois move very recently to pass similar policies. You saw Minnesota very recently. It was just signed into law today, I believe, by the governor, approved some of the legal protections for abortion providers and patients. And again, you're seeing New York really take a hard look at some of these. And so, you know, we're in this era now where a lot of states were caught off guard by the ruling last summer and are now looking to see what they can do. But also, even a lot of states that were proactive, like California, they were proactive, but drafting laws aimed at concerns that you think might happen is different from really seeing this play out on the ground. And so California officials told me, you know, they're not done. They fully expect to, you know, revisit this issue and have to draft laws in response to things that other conservative states are doing that they may not have anticipated.
Yeah. And I think what's also interesting is the laws passed in California that protect workers who provide abortions to people coming from out of state. Mm-hmm. And I could imagine that that might set up an interstate showdown in court.
Sure. So, you know, California sort of is trying to set up this legal firewall, and it hasn't really been tested yet. And so, you know, it only takes one zealous prosecutor somewhere out in the country to try to test this question and test which state laws prevail, you know, the intersection between federal and state laws. And so we're really in this unknown territory where California and these other states that have followed in California's wake are trying to imagine every possible scenario, but they fully admit that that's not possible and that they'll, you know, we'll just have to see this play out in court eventually.
Right. And with California really aggressively marketing itself to patients in other states, putting up billboards in red states saying that they can come to California, and also setting up a website, right?
That's right. And so they were able to provide some new data from their website. And so they were able to show that most of the traffic, these are tens of thousands of unique visits to this website describing both the legal protections and the sort of affordability and access mechanisms for abortion. You know, the vast majority of the traffic to that website was coming from out of state. And so, yes, you know, California is, you know, not only preparing to receive the patients, the state is actively, I wouldn't say recruiting, but advertising and encouraging people to think of the state as an abortion haven, an abortion sanctuary. They've used these terms.
And are they putting up the money to back that? Are they helping out abortion providers financially to take on this influx from out of state?
That's the aim. So the state has allocated more than $200 million for that work. Most of that has not been dispensed yet. And so I talked to the state has multiple Planned Parenthood affiliates since it's such a big state. And they say, you know, they're keeping an eye on, you know, when that funding becomes available and whether it's, you know, dispensed in a fair way. And so they want to, you know, hold the state accountable to its promises. But theoretically, there are these pots of funding now to help pay for travel and lodging and other needs for people coming in from out of state, to reimburse doctors who are providing procedures to folks who can't afford to pay or don't have insurance that covers it. There's funding to help clinics hire more people and train them. So we in the media and, you know, the advocacy world certainly is keeping a sharp eye on whether it meets the needs.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Alice Miranda Olstein. She covers healthcare on Capitol Hill for Politico. Coming up, Evan Kleinman is here with a treat you can make for your sweetie on Valentine's Day. Well, maybe also Thanksgiving Day. Later in the show, we'll have your weekend film reviews, including the latest horror flick from M. Night Shyamalan.
The opening scene is masterful, but the premise of that brilliant beginning is, you know, it's broken as quickly as couples break up on an episode of Love Island.
Those stories are coming up next on Press Play.